This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's edition of Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we focus on the greatest professional fishermen in the world, the men who make up the Bassmaster Elite Series, and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the Bass Pro Shops Open Series, and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops. Best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bass_Nation and use the hashtag Bass Radio. We are in the midst of the 2017 Geico Bassmaster Classic presented by Dick's Sporting Goods, which is being held in Houston for the first time in the event's 47 years. Houston's Minute Maid Park, home of the Houston Astros, is where 52 of the world's best bass anglers have been weighing in. And next week, we'll have our champion and full coverage of the results. The pros are fishing Lake Conroe, a 21,000-acre impoundment in Montgomery and Walker counties, about 45 minutes north of Houston. Conroe is a big bass factory, and the chances of 10-pounders being weighed in this weekend are excellent. Today, we're taking a look at the history of the Classic, and we give you some info on what is going on in Houston as well. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, Jerry McInnes will join us to discuss the evolution of the Classic and BASS, and four-time Classic winner Rick Klun, who has fished more Classics than anyone, will be in our Pro Profile segment. But who better to kick things off today than BASS Vice President of Publications and Communications, Dave Preck. Dave, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, great, Tom. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, I appreciate you joining us for a few minutes. And, of course, things are very hectic there throughout the week in Houston. And just talk a little bit about this, because you have been a part of these for many, many years, obviously, going back. I think you've been an employee of BASS since 1978. And just talk about the evolution of the Classic and what it was back then and what it has become now and what you guys are doing in Houston with the Expo and weighing in now at the Minute Maid Park and all of that.
Hey, this is the 40th Classic. I finally figured that up. I started, the first one was in 1978, and that's when we weighed the fish on the lakeshore at Ross Barnett in Mississippi. So it's changed so much. Now we're in Minute Maid Park, this fantastic facility with a retractable roof and a beautiful stage set up between second and third base and seating for all the people that want to come. So this is very, very different. It's become the event in sport fishing.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It is a huge, huge event. We're going to talk in a little bit to Rick Klun, who won four of these. Kevin Van Dam, of course, has won four of these as well. Did you ever suspect, though, going all the way back to when Ray Scott first asked you to jump over and become an employee of BASS, that it could grow into something like this?
I hoped it would, because it wasn't. It was a pretty small company then, and my dad told me, he said, "You're going to work for some small magazine in Alabama," and I had a great job with the Houston Post then. And in a few years, he said, "Boy, you made the right move," because the company grew, and I just had the dream job. I've been able to do what everybody would love to do in terms of fishing and meeting great people and going to great events like the Classic and all our elite events as well.
Talk about how it came about. We spent a lot of time on the history of the Classic and the history of BASS as well. Just talk a little bit about how you jumped from, working, doing outdoors work in Houston and becoming an employee with BASS, and why you made that jump to go with Ray Scott in this still relatively new, 11 year or so old organization when you jumped on.
Yeah, it was, one of those doors that opened. It's just kind of weird. I was working at the Ross Barnett tournament, working for the Post, and filed my story, and I was late. I missed the bus, so somebody gave me a ride, and little did I know that Ray Scott would be driving the car. And then he started thinking out loud, dreaming about what he would make the Classic, how it would become an indoor event and have media and fans from all over the world coming. And huge expo, and I started dreaming about that along with him, and I piped up, and he turned around and looked at me. So, what are you doing in the car? So, So we kind of struck up a conversation then, and it wasn't but a few months later that he offered me the job to come and edit Bassmaster magazine, and life was changed ever since.
And he of course, blending his love for the outdoors with the incredible showmanship. You know, we all remember, those of us that are longtime members of BASS, all remember the fringe jackets and the cowboy hat. And he just had a way to take something as simple as a old bass fishing tournament and turn it into quite the show.
Yeah, and he had that charisma on stage and off stage, and never met a stranger and had everybody eaten out of his hand before the end of the conversation. Yeah, he is one of a kind, and everybody in this industry owes a great debt of thanks for what he's done.
And then you fast forward to what's going on this weekend in Houston, and it's got to be kind of a source of pride for you as well, for it to have the Classic back in a place where you started your outdoor career.
First time in Houston and fishing on Lake Conroe, where I had some great fishing trips in the past. And the city has changed so much in the last 39 years. But this downtown area has been revitalized. Everything's in walking distance. Just a beautiful state-of-the-art facility for both the Expo, which is the largest we've ever had, 315,000 square feet and filled with exhibitors. And so many people introducing new products, they choose to do it at the Classic. You know, they could do it at the trade shows or some other event, but this has become the place that all the attention of sport fishing is focused on.
Dave Preck, our guest, Vice President of BASS Communications and Publications. You know, weighing in at the ballpark there, that's a unique scenario because, you know, regardless of weather, they have the roof there and so on. But, you know, when the NCAA basketball tournament went into stadiums and started playing, they've never looked back. They've never gone back to arenas for the Final Four. Can you just talk about that a little bit? Because there's not a ton of these types of facilities. Is this the wave of the future, or do you see the Classic going back to arenas and so on? Because, you know, not every one of our Great Lakes have that kind of a facility that close to it.
I won't say that we'll make a habit of staying in ballparks. Arenas have worked very well for us. It's just that this is such a beautiful state-of-the-art facility with a retractable roof and all, and a lot of history there. It's special, but, you know, what really drives us is the community support, the availability of great fishing nearby, the room for a great expo with 300,000 square feet or more, and then seating for, you know, all the fans who want to come. So it doesn't really matter whether it's a ballpark or an arena or a hockey rink, you know. We turn it, with our staging, you know, we turn it into an experience and that people have come to expect.
And what's cool about this too, and folks that are listening anywhere in the region, you know, can still get down there for the expo that's taking place all weekend long. And as you say, it's the biggest fishing expo ever associated with the Classic or anything else, most likely. And but yet it's in easy walking distance over to the stadium as well to catch the weigh-ins.
Absolutely. Man, it's a great town to be in, very vibrant. And the thing about it is, compared to a couple of years ago when we launched in 9-degree weather, it's in the 80s here, so yeah, it's almost like a summertime event, but just perfect weather.
Talk about the change in the anglers, the guys that you were covering back in the 70s and then in through the 80s and so on, and that had other jobs and still fish professionally, and then kind of the advent through the college program and more anglers that have come out straight out of school and gone right into professional fishing. About what a different type of fisherman we have now than we had back 20 and 30 years ago.
Yeah, you ought to ask Rick Klein that. I'm sure he has some thoughts on it. But these guys have studied all their lives since they were little children how to become better fishermen. They've had better access to the resource and they're fishing tournaments at a younger age. When they get on the tour, they're qualifying for the Elite Series in their first try in the Opens, and then they're making a name of themselves. We've got several now from alums of the college fishing, and you know, they're ones to watch both now and in the future.
Yeah, and then finally, the Night of Champions. What a night that was! The dinner and Gerald Swindle just bringing the house down with his speech. He's such a great guy, such a great AOI champion, and I know a lot of people are pulling for him. But what a great night!
Yeah, you know, he's got a reputation as being a great comic, and he had a few funny moments But I recorded that speech, and I'm so glad I did, because I want to go back and listen to it. It's one of the most inspiring speeches I've heard on any stage. So, and it was very meaningful to him, and it was a super night. It really was.
Dave, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. It's great to have you here on Bassmaster Radio. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll look forward to having our champion next week and wrapping up the entire tournament. Dave Precht has been our guest. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you. All right, we'll be back with Rick Klun when we return right here on Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
Fishing fans, make plans to be at the 2017 Geico Bassmaster Classic, presented by Dick's Sporting Goods, March 24th through the 26th in Houston, Texas. See 52 of the world's best anglers weigh in their catch from Lake Conroe at Minute Maid Park, home of the Houston Astros. A weigh-in show like never before, and one you've got to see in person. Check out the biggest outdoors expo in BASS history, featuring the latest in fishing gear, giveaways, and more. Fun for the whole family, and all events are free. Join us in Houston for the Geico Bassmaster Classic, and be a part of the most exciting 3 days in fishing, period.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders and Mark Zona. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer and Davey Height. Plus, special guest appearances from elite pros. Stream on Bassmaster.com or the Watch ESPN app at ESPN3. 7:30 to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time. Bassmaster Live. It's as close to being in the boat as you can get.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham, and now in our Pro Profile segment, if you're going to talk about the history of the Bassmaster Classic, you got to talk to Rick Klun. I mean, he's fished in more classics than anyone, 32 of them. He's won four, tied with Kevin Van Dam. He went back-to-back in 76 and 77 on Gunnersville and Toho, and was a winner last year on the St. John's River on the Elite Series at the age of 70. Still active, he is, of course, Rick Klun. Rick, welcome in. How are you?
It's good to be here. It's kind of a lot going on, and this is where I kind of started. So it's a real mixed emotions, but mostly good.
You must have felt pretty good about your chances of making it into this classic, of course, last year with the win on the St. John's River. And, you know, some folks think that maybe it should be a win and you get in type of thing. But, you know, it just shows how exclusive and how difficult the field it is to make a classic. And the fact that you fished in 32 of these so far, you know, speaks to that. But this is a tough field to make.
It is a tough field, and ironically, that last year was the first year that I wouldn't have been in with a win, but I've probably been one of the ones that's politicked against allowing people to get in the Classic with just one win, and so it's kind of ironic, I guess, just poetic justice that I was the first one to benefit or not benefit from that winning one and getting it.
You know, there are more BASS members. There are 10% of the entirety of BASS members living in Texas, and this is only the second Classic in Texas. Just talk about the sense of pride it is for bass fishermen throughout Texas to have this thing at Conroe and to bring the Classic back to Texas for only the second time.
Yeah, I think that's probably a little bit ironic to me, but the Classic is a unique event that requires unique facilities. And I think over time, that a lot of that has been dictated by the facilities that were available around that particular body of water. And it's not an easy, you can't go everywhere with this thing. And even though, yeah, you'd think, well, Texas got a lot of lakes, and it does, but even lakes like Toledo Bend, which has been rated the number one lake in the country for several years, probably doesn't have a facility that we could do it in without just driving crazy amount of distance.
Yeah, of course, you won at Gunnersville, your first Classic in 1976. Just take us back to the differences and what it was like, the surroundings and so on, and what it was, what the Classic was in the early 70s and when you won back-to-back in the mid-70s compared to the event that it is now with the Expo and everything.
Well, there's a lot of strange things about that, the going back from what the Classics were to now, because I worked in Houston for 7 years in downtown Houston for Exxon Oil Company. I was working in the second largest computing center in the world, and I liked my job, but I hated the traffic and being in downtown and fighting it every day, you know. And so that finally gave me the courage to, hey, I want to try this fishing thing. And but back then, the Classics were secret. You know, we didn't know where we were going until we met in a neutral place, got on an airplane 30,000 feet later. They tell us, hey, you're going to so-and-so in Alabama. And everybody looked at each other like, have you ever been there? Have you ever been? Because we couldn't talk to anybody else about it. And the thing was, most of the Classics back then were kind of in these remote, quiet, natural environments. And boy, I loved it because, you know, hey, we're out here, you know, at Lake Mead or at Lake Gunnersville when I won it. We were on top of a mountain in a state park overlooking this gorgeous lake. And then all of a sudden, you know, they moved the Classic and they started announcing it. And they had to because of the fans being able to plan to come to it and the media being able to plan to it. They finally started announcing it ahead of time. And then they did finally started saying, hey, we're going to have drive-in weigh-ins. And that's when all of a sudden now here I was, I never forget the first one, here I was driving back into a big city in rush hour traffic with a fish in my boat behind me, you know. I go, wow, what a strange world I live in, you know. But that's where really the main changes have been, you know, that now it's a very public event, where back then it wasn't. And you'll see that, you know, and you've seen it during the events, that the amount of fans are at the weigh-ins, and then even in the mornings at the boat ramp, watching these guys take off and on the water. So it's a lot more public than it used to be.
I've been a member of BASS since 1981, so I've followed most of your entire career, and I always kind of thought of you like the bass whisperer. You know, you just kind of had that, you got in one with the elements and the nature and so on. It seems like now a lot of fishermen spend more time looking down than they do looking up, though, and looking at that depth finder and so on. Just talk about that technology and how you can blend the great technology that we have now with still understanding what's going on in nature.
And that's an incredible question, because Einstein even said technology has the ability to save man or to destroy man. It's just which part of it wins the race.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a microcosmic way, that is exactly what the question you asked is asking. Is it going to save man or destroy him? And in many, many ways, we don't recognize that first one is maybe destroying us, because I will always say, even though technology is incredible now, I mean, it's just amazing what these depth finders can do and what they can show you, is that I still think a natural, being aware of natural rhythms, which is having a high level of awareness in nature, is always going to be more important. So if you're teaching a young angler, then you got to balance the two together if you want the perfect angler. Is that he can't let that natural stuff destroy his sensory abilities, his understanding behavior and reading the weather, and not just reading it, feeling it, becoming part of it, because still the best anglers I know have had that talent, whether they were aware of it or not. But again, you know, the electronics nowadays, it's just used to, you probably go back enough that probably when I got it on Lake Conroe, I was fishing with, guiding with one of the top two electronics persons on the planet fishing, and it was Randy Fite. Mm-hmm. He was taught by one of the top two before him. And what they could do with a flasher blew your brain back then. And nowadays, I don't know what those guys could be doing. Would they have the side imaging, down imaging, mapping systems? The accuracy of it is incredible. What now would take me a month to find, when I was guiding on Lake Conroe, a kid can go out there and find with the available information and everything and the equipment we have, he can drive straight to it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, you know, so, but that's where you got to find that balance. You know, it's just like at St. John's when I went here a year ago. I had that on a big Lake George at St. John's River. I had this one little area marked on my GPS. My GPS went out on the way down there for that final day. If I hadn't backed it up with the old triangulation methods, you know, when you used to triangulate that spot and this spot and use landmarks, and I would have found it, but it would take me a lot longer than, and I caught every one of my big fish in the first 45 minutes. What if I'd lost that first 45 minutes due to my GPS going out and I didn't have that backup system? That's just a small example of the balance between electronics and natural sensory, natural abilities.
Tremendous stuff there. Well, Rick, I appreciate you. I know it is a little bit bittersweet for you not to be fishing this weekend, but I appreciate you so much doing this, and we wish you luck the rest of the season.
Thanks. Good to be on. Can't wait to see what the end is.
All right. Thank you. There is Rick Klund joining us in our Pro Profile segment. We'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over 500,000 outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders and Mark Zona. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer and Davey Height. Plus, special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Stream on Bassmaster.com or the Watch ESPN app at ESPN3. 7:30 to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time. Bassmaster Live. It's as close to being in the boat as you can get.
Fishing fans, make plans to be at the 2017 Geico Bassmaster Classic, presented by Dick's Sporting Goods, March 24th through the 26th in Houston, Texas. See 52 of the world's best anglers weigh in their catch from Lake Conroe at Minute Maid Park, home of the Houston Astros. A weigh-in show like never before and one you've got to see in person. Check out the biggest outdoors expo in BASS history, featuring the latest in fishing gear, giveaways, and more. Fun for the whole family and all events are free. Join us in Houston for the Geico Bassmaster Classic and be a part of the most exciting 3 days in fishing, period.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio here on ESB Nation Radio Network. And joining me now, well, you know him as a television producer, a fishing hole for 44 years, and of course, a co-owner of BASS. I now know him as an author of the book Bass Fishing, Brown Dogs, and Curveballs. That's the book, and I've been reading it. It's fascinating. Jerry McInnes joins us again. Jerry, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm so glad to be with you today. It's pretty exciting down here in Houston, and you know, like you said, I was on the air for 45 years and 44 years, I guess, and not another job offer. I don't know whether that's good news or bad.
You know, it's funny because one of the great stories that you tell in the book is how you were doing fishing shows to start when you started your career in the late 60s, I guess. It was in different markets, and you worried about, you know, people in Illinois, did they care about the lakes in Arkansas, and did the guy in Arkansas care about the lakes in the Great Lakes, and I kind of went through that with Bassmaster Radio started out as Southern Bass Radio, and I was worried about that as well, but I found out over the years that, you know, folks that like to talk fishing, they just like to talk fishing.
Yeah.
and I think that's a big part
that
of it.
That is right. You're exactly right. There's no sense even worrying about that. You just do the best you can and try to make it interesting for everyone, but that's if you put in the least bit of effort, you'll make everybody happy, because that's the kind of sport this is. And boy, I can't tell you how exciting this is down here in Houston. I remember going, I went through the expo on the first day before it was even open. And they're putting up all the booths, and I'm thinking, holy cow, This is such a reach from what I imagined the expo to be. Boy, it is big time, and the folks are certainly enjoying everything that's going on. You can literally go in that expo in the morning when it opens and stay there all day long,
yeah,
and maybe miss some stuff even at that. So a lot going on.
And it's so cool that Bassmaster Live is on as well on the screen, so people can see that and see what's going out out on the water. And then it's just a short walk over to Minute Maid Park to catch these guys weighing in.
Hey, you know what? I'm sitting here in a chair kind of out in front of the expo, mm-hmm, and I can't hit the Minute Maid with a rock, but I could get about halfway to it. We're that close, and the hotels are right here, and you can, other than, you know, being out at the lake, you can do everything you want to do just right here. And of course, everyone, oh my goodness, the crowds and the excitement at the takeoffs out there at the lake are just really, that's great. And people can go out there and take that in and still have time to come down here and go in the expo about the time it opens. And along with watching the expo, you can go over there and sit and watch live, you know,
right,
where that's coming from the inside the expo. And Sanders and Zona and Davey Hyde and all kinds of folks are up there on the little television platform doing those shows. And you can just sit right there you can throw stuff at Zona if you want.
Wow,
that's what I like is, yeah, throw tomatoes and so on at Zona.
Yeah, he's liable to catch them and throw them right back at you. That's for sure. You know, this is kind of almost full circle for you because you've got the bass fishing covered and the curveballs. Now you finally made it to a major league stadium, you know, so you started your career.
That's right.
All you need is a brown dog. You got a little brown dog with you at all, you know, this weekend?
No, dadgum, I can't. I have to board him. It's just too much going on. I'd never be able to take him. But when I was a youngster, my dream in life was to be in a major league baseball player, a major league baseball park, doing my job, and by gosh, I made it.
Jerry McGinnis with us. This is really something when we talk about the technology and everything. We've been spending some time talking about the history of the Classic, and you obviously have followed us throughout. You were there, you know, at the very beginning as well in 1967, and you knew Ray Scott and Bill Dance was so great early on as a tournament fisherman, and then in his own right as a outdoor TV star and so on. But just talk about the difference in all of the technologies from a producer as a TV producer, and then also these fishermen who, as I said with Rick Klund, they spend more time looking down than they do looking up, you know, just looking at that screen now. It's amazing the technology that we have.
Yeah, and I'm old school, but I guess I got enough youth in my heart that I really get into all this new stuff now. I have to be honest, it has left me behind in a lot of areas, but I still know the value of it all, and the fishermen and the way they go about their job is completely different in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. 10 years isn't a very long time to for something like that to change, but it has really. I could almost say a lot of things have changed in the last 5 years. But these young, especially the young people coming up, they can. They're whiz bangs on them on the depth finder. I call it a graph
yeah,
depth finder. So you know where I'm coming from.
But
it's way beyond that.
Yeah.
And then I have to tell you, when I was fishing the bass tournaments, BASS, in the late '60s. When it first, because I fished it the first couple years. As a matter of fact, but Dance and I roomed together, and we had such a great time and such a great run. But I can remember in those days thinking in my wildest imagination, wouldn't it be something if we had ways of having cameras out there and the audience could see these guys fishing? Wouldn't that be something? And here we are, and that's happening.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of all that.
Yeah, and your son Mike McInnes has really done such a great job taking it to the next level as well. And now we saw, Zona Lot. Can you imagine if you'd have had a camera out there with Bobby Knight? You wouldn't be able to have any audio. It'd be you and Bobby, and we just have no audio at all.
I hadn't even thought about that. We'd have blown up computers, wouldn't we?
I mean, that would have been unbelievable. But I think we're changing the way you watch a fishing show now. I mean, that's something. It was amazing to see.
Get ready for that. It will, I don't know if it'll eliminate the way that fishing shows are done anymore. I think that it, but it could, because this is the way of the future, and there'll come a day where this is not considered a fishing show.
Yeah.
And I think it will. I think it will enhance the whole experience of a viewer, and make better fishermen, and grow sport. That's what we're supposed to do, is grow this doggone sport.
I hear you. All right, we only got about a minute left, but I suggested at some point in time you had to take about the top 25 guys, put them in a plane, fly them somewhere. Don't tell them what lake they're going to. Let them, when they get there, give them go old school one time. Wouldn't that be fun to see these guys figure out a body of water they don't even know where they're going?
Don't think we're not thinking about that. Don't, especially, again, with all the new technology before that idea, now that idea would not be really good because the general public wouldn't know what was going on. But now, with live and with different things, we'd have so many customers and viewers on computers watching that. It makes a lot of sense.
Jerry, congratulations on a great event going on as we speak this weekend in Houston, and we look forward to another great season of Elite Series events on the BASS Elite Series as well.
I sure appreciate that, and let me say that I think you're doing a tremendous job.
Thank you.
We're glad that you're a big part of it.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be part of the family. Jerry McInnes has been our guest. Jerry, thank you.
Okie doke, thank you.
All right, we'll be back with more Bassmaster Radio right after this on the SB Nation Radio Network.
Fishing fans, make plans to be at the 2017 Geico Bassmaster Classic, presented by Dick's Sporting Goods. March 24th through the 26th in Houston, Texas. See 52 of the world's best anglers weigh in their catch from Lake Conroe at Minute Maid Park, home of the Houston Astros. A weigh-in show like never before, and one you've got to see in person. Check out the biggest outdoors expo in BASS history, featuring the latest in fishing gear, giveaways, and more. Fun for the whole family, and all events are free. Join us in Houston for the Geico Bassmaster Classic and be a part of the most exciting 3 days in fishing, period.
Are you looking for a great weekend tournament fishing experience? Well, visit AmericanBassAnglers.com for the latest on the nation's number one grassroots fishing tours. The ABA features several circuits, including the American Fishing Tour, one-day events close to home. The ABA also has the Open Series with 16 divisions around the country and a $5,000 guaranteed first place. For team tournaments, check out the 100% Plus Team Tour and even the Couples Tour. All events lead to the Ray Scott Championships as well. Learn more at AmericanBassAnglers.com.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over 500,000 outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to
Bassmaster.com. Catch Bassmaster Live Friday through Sunday of every Bassmaster Elite Tournament, hosted by Tommy Sanders and Mark Zona. You won't want to miss it. Live coverage of the competitors on the water and commentary from Dave Mercer and Davey Height. Plus, special guest appearances from Elite Pros. Stream on Bassmaster.com or the Watch ESPN app at ESPN3. 7:30 to 10 a.m. and again 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. local tournament time. Bassmaster Live. It's as close to being in the boat as you can get.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network. I am Tom Abraham. What a fascinating journey we've had here on the show. Of course, it is Classic Weekend. Next week, we'll have all of the wrap-up. We'll have our champion on as well. But we want to thank Dave Preck, who was in earlier. Also, Rick Klun, 32 classics and 4 wins. And, of course, Jerry McInnes, the co-owner of BASS, now all joining us, talking about some of the history of the Classic and what's going on now in Houston. Joining me now is another lifetime BASS member, my partner Scott Morris. Scott, welcome in. How are you?
Tom, I'm great. It's very interesting to see the Classic on what I call Suburban Lake. So we'll just see how everything pans out on this deal.
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility we're going to see some really, really big bass. It's a big bass factory down there, very stable with the weather, so it's going to be interesting to see how it all comes out. But what an event. I mean, and I started to wonder a little bit about, and I asked Dave Preck this, is, you know, once the NCAA basketball tournament went into stadiums for their Final Four, they've never looked back. You can't really do that with the Classic because there's a limited number of waters that would be near these types of stadiums. But it's been such great success and such great crowds. You wonder whether or not, they'll look for other places where they can hold the weigh-in at a stadium.
Well, I mean, there's several places you could do that around the country. It just depends if, that city wants to step up to the plate and get the resources available for BASS to consider going. Yeah. But it's a no-brainer of any city of any type that has the infrastructure, the water, the stadium. They would be a fool not to try to solicit bass and do what they needed to do to get bass to come, because the economic impact with BASS, the shows, just everything that goes into the event, surpasses anything that we've ever seen. And it'll be very interesting. I'm very passionate about this subject. It'll be very interesting, Tom, to see what the final numbers are with the city of Houston.
One of the things that we talked about with Rick Klun is we talked about the change in angling from, when he started in the mid-70s to where we're at now, and the technology and the equipment and the gear and the lures and everything is so much different. The boats, it's just been an explosion of technology. But, Rick Klun, I called him the bass whisperer. He was always a guy that was in tune with nature. And, he even told the story about how his GPS failed him during the St. John's tournament, and he was triangulating to find a spot. I got a feeling there is a certain generation of fishermen out there that don't really know what that means, to triangulate to find your spot.
Absolutely, and the guys that had to do that back in the day have the advantage of when that happens, just like Klun did. But Tom, I still do that all the time. Your GPS can get you close, and it can get you right there, but it can't. If you throw a buoy out, if you find a spot and you throw a buoy out, you would be surprised how close you are with that GPS, with that buoy. You may be 10 feet off.
Right.
It's always good to have that triangulation mode in operation in your brain. And if you don't know how to do it, you need to learn how to do it.
Yeah. And I would think it would be, I know that Mark Zona answered this question the other day on Zona Live. He was asked that, what's the biggest innovation in the last 10 years or so? He said the mapping. He also said the power poles. He said the power poles, and then he said the mapping. I think that the mapping and the quality of the sonar, probably even more than the power poles, because the power poles, you're going to use those in certain kind of water, 12 foot or less predominantly, and it's a great it's a great tool, no question. But the mapping and the sonar is something that you can use on so much more of the lake, and I would think that's been the biggest innovation that we've seen.
I would agree. I would agree that the mapping, with a GPS, it's changed the game. I would also, though, argue that the downscan ability with these units now versus a regular sonar has changed the game also. And I also think the way the public perceives bass fishing now, especially with the high school and the college, there's more and more people doing it, Tom, more and more people that do it, the more educated the people get. So there's an education aspect to bass fishing now versus 20 years ago, and there's a commercial aspect to it also.
Now, if you go back in the history of BASS. If you go from 1967 when Ray Scott organized the Bass Angler Sportsman Society to now, I would argue that the number one innovation, if you will, in the history of bass fishing is catch and release. I think that's the thing that I think we could have been on our way to Bass Armageddon if it wasn't for catch and release. And that was such a foreign subject or thought, even deep into the 70s and 80s, still people were, you know, stringing up bass and so on. And I've often said to people, they say, why do you throw the fish back? I say, well, it would be like a baseball player eating his glove. You know, it's a different type of mindset. And now, and not that there is anything wrong with harvesting some bass, and, you know, there is a creel limit there and so on, but I think that catch and release has done more for the sport than anything else in the history of the sport.
Well, I mean, it definitely, you know, keeps that resource there, and it's proven that, you know, these fish that are released, they survive, and, you know, they reproduce. And the thing is, it's an example to anglers. Mm. It's an example to anglers. That example to anglers, you know, has transcended into, it's, you know, most people catch and release fish, bass now. It's just kind of like I call it the lawnmower effect. When you know, you're in a neighborhood and you cut your grass, you're the first person to cut your grass. Within 3 days, everybody else has had, you know,
that's right,
they're going to cut their yard.
That's right, and I'm always the first
people
one.
Follow what people do. and Bass has done Bass is tremendous at conservation. They've done better than any organization as far as the bass, as far as conservation.
No question about it. All right, next week we'll wrap up the Classic, and we'll talk to the winner, and I hope you come in second in the fantasy as well.
You're going down, my friend. You're going down, and you know what? We can talk about this on the lake next weekend, too.
That's true. That's
you're going
true.
Down, bro.
That's a good point. All right, appreciate you as always, Scott.
All right. See you, Tom.
That's Scott Morris. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Bassmaster Radio. Until next time, make sure you keep those lines tight and those nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster Radio on the SB Nation Radio Network.